Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the DL Gaming Podcast.
We
got the whole group here. We got Chad.
Hey.
Chi.
Hi.
And Emilio.
And Bobby.
Oh, and me.
Otherwise known as Chiablo.
That's all of our names combined, we found out.
We formed like Voltron into Chiablo whenever some video games need to get beat.
We don't have
Chiablo. That sounds like something you would get at a Mexican restaurant.
Probably
I'll take two Chiabios.
Try
large Coke.
Try our cheesy, chunky, chocolatey Chiablo.
But you'd get it with
spicy
a horchata too. Or something.
Spicy. It's don't forget the spicy.
Spicy,
yeah.
Spicy Chiablos with a horchata.
Don't forget to pick up one of our Chiablo t-shirts coming out next week.
We should take all of our faces and just morph it into one person.
Chiablo? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. That'd be awesome. Hideous.
I could do that.
Yeah. Be Chi with blonde hair and a beard or something.
Beards fuck everything up. All those, like, face swap things, anything that where you do morphing, beards, like, no computer can recognize a beard. There's too much going on there, I think.
True.
Mm. Yeah.
That's how we'll defeat the robots when they take over.
Yeah, we'll all grow beards. They won't be able to see us like Predator.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just like with the mud, we just all grow beards.
All right, so we got some new t-shirts on the website, or they will be on the website by the time this episode comes out. I have them up there. We just have not posted them on the front page with our new DL logo looking pretty snazzy here. You guys are wearing some. How do they feel?
They good? Feel fantastic. Almost as good as Tribeland.
Yeah,
almost Tribeline.
Yeah,
it is really nice.
Yeah, we forgot to bring Chi and Bobby's over here. But
I had them in my hand, but then I realized my shorts didn't match my shirt, so I had to change my shorts. And so your shirts are right next to my ugly shorts on the floor of my room. So
yeah,
perfect.
Doing plenty of good.
All right, so be sure to check that out. Pick one of those up. We'll be we got plenty of mediums this time around, so yes. Should have everyone covered. And also Patreon. I did the first Patreon giveaway. I've been talking about it for a while, but I've got some nicer games that I kind of hang on to. And I used to sell them on G2A, but I haven't been really doing anything with G2A recently. So I started giving them away to, at this point, pretty much anyone who has donated any amount on Patreon was in on that giveaway. I don't know if there's going to be a cutoff or a threshold. I don't know. I'm looking for some input. So if you guys have any comments on that, let me know. I was thinking, like, if you donate at least $1 a month or maybe three, or I don't know, then you would be part of that. And I'm going to try to do these giveaways as often as possible, but it kind of depends on what games I have.
And we got two new Patreon subscribers, or yeah, I guess subscribe. I don't have their names right now, but I'll have them by the end of the episode.
The nice thing about the Patreon giveaway, I saw the whole list of games you were giving away. How many games was it total?
I think there were 12 games in that list.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice because you got to pick and choose out of that list rather than, you know, just being handed a game that you otherwise may not have.
Yeah, it wasn't just like a random giveaway, like you win or you lose. It was just like, here's a list of games. Let me know which one you want. And if it hasn't already been taken, then it's yours. And there were some good ones on there. There was Banner Saga.
Ooh, nice.
Soma was on there.
I was excited about that one.
Yeah. Civ 5, but who doesn't have that game now? A few other pretty decent games on there. Like I said, I get a lot of games. I probably have 100 to 150 games on my other list that I give away to the Steam group, but I saved the good ones.
There's still like 10 copies of Battlefield 1 sitting there, so.
Battlefield 1?
Yeah, so if you want one of those, just, you know, join our Patreon and I'm sure we'll get you one.
And also our Patreon, we're going to be sending out our DVD commentaries soon, too. So First one is Street Fighter. That'll be happening very soon. Next one, I don't know. There's been talks of Super Mario Bros. I don't know if that
one's... I've never seen that one. So.
And if you want to know how it went, I don't even remember the commentary. So yeah. That's how I was on it.
Yeah, that's why these are going to the Patreon, because you have to be a true DL Gaming fan to appreciate this. This is not for the new uninitiated.
Or the faint of heart.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it so much, and I would actually want to re-listen to that because of the fact that it was such a great night recording that. Thing.
Yeah, that was fun. Emil,
we have the most fun
with that one, dude.
When all three of us are drinking, it's so much fun.
Yeah,
but she rarely drinks because she has to go to work after.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, if you Patreon. Go ahead.
So the $10 one gets shirts. They're now getting this new shirt, right? If they get the $10 Patreon amount.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you are a $10 donor on Patreon, you get the new shirt, and. Yeah, we're trying to encourage the Patreon a lot more, so definitely hop on that. But also, Discord has been blowing up lately. We have gotten a lot of people on there, and I think it's cool that we now have a platform for people, like people who listen to the podcast can not only talk to us, but talk to other listeners. It's kind of fun to watch our listeners interact with each other.
True.
it's been pretty entertaining, so definitely check out our Discord. The permanent link for that is posted in the Steam group. And we should probably put it on the website too, I guess. But a lot of activity there. Be a part of it.
Yeah. So shout out to Flat Picker for your donation. Also Rubber Nuts.
Oh, sweet!
And,
thanks, guys.
Hello, Ika Hiliv, whoever that is. You can let me know your name, and I will give you a shout out your Steam name next week. Ika Hiliv, something like that.
Cool. Well, thank you guys.
Thanks,
much appreciated.
Yeah, for sure.
And then one more little piece of business. Jens has his new Rocket League montage up. I linked it on our website, dlgaming.net, so you can check it out there. He also posted it in the Discord. I don't know if he posted it in the Steam group, though.
I don't know where else we could put the Discord link. People keep asking. You know, and
it's in one of the threads.
Yeah, but it's kind of buried a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
And if we post in the comments section, it'll eventually go down. So I think what I'm going to do is the Steam group allows you to make three links. Right now we have our Twitter, our main webpage, and we don't even have a third link. So I'm just going to put it up there.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Or maybe a permanent thread on the forums. With the Discord link.
Yeah, the website? Like threads don't work very well. The sticky threads, like they never stay at the top. I don't know what the deal is with
that. Can we put them on the website?
Yeah, we can put it on the website, too.
Because I think that would be best, because if anybody asks, we just direct them to our website. All right, this is business. Let's move on.
All right. Check out Jen's new Rocket League video. They're getting better and better, I think. They're looking really good.
Yeah, he does good work on that.
Yeah.
We need to recruit him to start doing some videos.
Yeah, he's going to be our new video editor. He's...
Really?
But I just haven't told him yet.
You're hired.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess moving on to the big story. Battle Rite is taking the gaming world by storm, I feel like. All the people that I watch on Twitch, they're starting to play Battle Rite in between rounds of Heroes of the Storm. So I feel like this game has just been everywhere. So I picked it up for, $17.99 for sale on Steam?
That's what I paid it as well.
Wasn't it $14.99 when I bought it?
I don't think so. Did we nail down whether or not we have the ultimate pack or not? Bobby, do you know?
What I looked up and found out is, because this is a game that's going to be free to play when it comes out. It's in early access right now, so it's like, why am I paying $20 for a game that's going to be free when it comes out? Well, you get some cosmetic stuff. You get all the champions unlocked. But what I read is all the champions up until September 20th. So if they come out with a new one, then you will have to spend in-game currency to get that, or possibly real money. I don't know what pay model they're doing.
And what I heard was that you get all characters in perpetuity from now on. That's what I heard. So I don't know.
So that might be worth it.
Yeah, it might be worth it. As far as the cosmetic shit, it's dog shit. I don't like any of the cosmetic at all. It's just like the characters are so small, you can't really see what it is anyway. Mm-hmm. And for my favorite character, which is this giant hulking guy, I got the epic unlock thing for him. And it was like they reskin the piece of meat that he uses for his weapon into a zebra skin.
Yeah, it was mostly color changes. They weren't
But that's
that good.
The epic one, you know?
No, but that was the epic one for the weapon. They've got an epic one for the outfit and the epic one for the mount. Yeah. It's not just one epic. Each of the categories has their own epic.
But let's get into it. What is Battle Rite?
Yeah, what is Battle Rite? I haven't heard about it or have seen anything.
I say it's a MOBA without the creeps.
Well, it's an arena-style game where it's 2v2, and it is very mobile-like when you look at it. But after playing it, it's more of a twin-stick shooter to me, at
least. I think it's a top-down WoW arena is the closest I can come to it.
Apparently, that's what was the inspiration for it.
Because you do a 2v2 or 3v3, you're moving around. You have direct control, WASD control, not a point-and-click control.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have much more immediate control. And then you've got abilities with cooldowns.
Like, there's a lot of abilities, Chi. Like,
I mean, not a lot. There's like six.
There's a good amount.
There's more than... Okay, so Overwatch has three, right?
But there's no four, leveling, no four. Buffing.
No.
It's just you being able to use
It's five rounds, and when you die, you're out of the round. So if it's 3v3, if somebody dies, then it's 2v3 until somebody else gets knocked out.
Look like WoW Arena, at least for the layout.
But it's a top-down WoW Arena.
Yeah.
But by the way, we're talking Blood Rite, R-I-T-E. I was
Battle
very
Rite.
Battle Rite, I'm sorry. Yeah. Rite is spelled R-I-T-E, not R-I-G-H-T or any other
Rite. Yeah, Rite of Passage.
Yeah, like a Rite of Passage. But man, I'm very frustrated playing this game because...
not our last playthrough.
Yeah, no, we were doing good. I get frustrated because I'm just not as good in this kind of control schemes as I want to be.
And you were playing with me. I was doing shitty.
I would love this game. I need to try it out. I need to play this game with you
guys. I want them to do a 5v5 version, though. I hope they release a 5v5 version.
It's fucking intense and really fun.
And no, just by looking at it, it's like on my level. It seems to be very, like on the fly. You have to have good... point and aim, reaction
time. There's a lot of
skill
shots in this
strategy
game.
In terms of like using your skills and whatnot.
Yeah, it's
and
all
the fact
skill
that
shots
you're
too.
And the fact that it's co-op, this is great. I need to try this game out. It looks fun.
Yeah,
overwhelmingly positive with almost 3,000.
Is there a four pack you can purchase of this? Because
well,
I
you can only do 3v3. The 3v3 is the cap right now. So, like I said, I'm hoping they do a 5v5. But right now, you can only play 3v3.
So it's kind of like gladiatorial combat. There's not much to it. It's going to be 2-on-2 or 3v3, but you mix it up a little bit because there are power-ups. Not really power-ups. There's pickups.
There's buffs in between rounds. You keep getting buffs to level up.
That's not what I'm talking about.
We have a health bar and an energy bar, and you can pick up buffs, or not buffs,
in-game.
But things that charge that give you health or that give you energy.
That's
when you get so much energy, you kind of have an ultimate ability, but you also have like a mini ultimate ability that only uses like one bar, kind of like in a Street Fighter game. But there's a lot of counters in this game as well, and I feel like that's where the real high-level play comes in, is being able to counter and dodge certain attacks.
And know when not to attack to avoid their counter.
Yeah. I mean, it's like any other MOBA. You have to memorize the characters, memorize their abilities, memorize, like, okay, if I do this, then he's going to do that, so I should do this and hold on to this ability. Like, there's a whole lot of that. And there's a steep learning curve to it. But right now they're at, what, 10? 10 heroes?
15. Five of each of the different play styles. You've got a range, you've got a melee, and you've got a support.
See, that's Bobby, really cool. I think it's a little less so than a MOBA, because I feel like all their abilities are so similar.
Well,
it's like it would be the team fights, essentially, in a MOBA.
Yeah,
so it's
much.
Like take out everything. But,
and there's
just...
no item building, but at the beginning of each round, you play a best of five. At the beginning of each round,
best
you can choose.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of each round, you choose and
like a buff.
It's like a buff, I guess. You get an option to buff one
so
of your
build
abilities.
Your character.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and you can also counter other people's characters based on the kind of in between round buffs that you choose.
So it's just buffs. No items, no equipment.
Yeah.
No, the only thing on the battleground, you can see there's a timer in the middle. Every single one has a timer going around. Every time the timer fills up, buffs are thrown onto the ground. Not buffs. They're either health packs or power packs. Energy packs. If you pick up the energy packs, you get your ultimate faster.
Do they spawn in the same location?
No, it's random.
Well,
random.
They spawn around the middle. So you want to fight over the middle. The middle has meaning. See that circle in the middle? When it fills up, it drops a ball. And if you destroy the ball, you get health and energy back.
I think it's great. Like,
they designed
like
it well.
This needed something where we yell at each other all the time.
Yeah.
We got to control the center. Got to
control the center.
It's so important because that's where all the power ups are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of your strategy. Otherwise, it'd just be like you're in a giant arena and that's it.
What do you guys think about Q on all characters is the is the counter.
Yeah.
Space on all characters
is the travel ability.
E on all characters is kind of the long range, whatever.
Yeah.
The CC or stun or whatever. What do you feel about that? Like, I feel like it. You already are starting to feel like characters are very similar.
That's what I was trying to tell Bobby. I think it takes away a little bit of the, I have to learn every character so that I can know how to fight them. They're all so similar that I feel like I know who I'm playing up. It doesn't really matter who they're playing as much. Obviously, a tanky guy's tanky, and they reflect more. But ultimately, they're all just kind of... put it to you this way. The big shield guy has a reflect ability that attacks you back when you attack him.
Yeah.
You want to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah.
Now, the mage chick, she shoots you away if you hit her counter.
Yeah.
Way less penalty. But I'm going to avoid both of them the same amount at the same time during combat. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Like, everybody has a counter.
And I also think, like...
Does that make sense? Did I just make sense?
It does. Like, everybody's got a counter. You see it pop up. You're going to avoid it if you can.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotcha. But I honestly think they could diversify the characters more if they wanted to. And then it would end up being more of a MOBA where you'd have to learn individual characters right. and know what they do.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's more pick up and play. You don't have to learn them all because they're all so similar.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's why I'm doing so well with Sirius. His name's Sirius.
Yeah, the Egyptian.
Egyptian. Dude. He's a melee healer. And he's the most original of all the characters, I think. He has like 3 teleports. And he's jumping all over the place, and he's getting bonuses for teleporting. And I think the only reason I'm not playing well, he's the only one that's really different than the other ones.
Yeah. Emilio and I played the first night. We were both kind of frustrated. We were just learning the game.
Chad got frustrated.
I got a little frustrated. But at me especially, because like you kind of have more buttons than I'm used to. You got Q, E, R, F, space bar.
There's never been a game with more click and right abilities.
Click. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the second night, and we played some with Rubber Nuts. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He was still learning.
Drunk, he was
still,
so was
yeah,
I.
Yeah. We were all a little drunk, but we had a good time. It reminds me a lot.
I don't think we won one.
No, I don't think we did either. But 3v3 is kind of a shit show. Like, yeah. All three can get on one character and blow them up really quick. That's why it reminds me of WoW Arena so much, because it's so much of trying to kill one guy to get a power play. You're trying to kill one guy to get a power play. So you're trying to focus one, but at the same time, the other team's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're always trying to focus the healer if there is one, because if you can get the healer out of the game, then you can just whittle down the other guys.
Yeah.
So... It reminded me so much, because we would get somebody down to like just a fucking nipple, and they would run out. And next time we saw them, they were back to a decent sized health pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll see how this goes.
I think you guys can hear the excitement in our voice. Yeah. This is an exciting game. It's fun. The ultimates are super cool.
And honestly, this is one of those games that you'll have more fun if you're playing with somebody you know. Mm-hmm. But you could play just 2 people and probably just have fun as well. I mean,
yeah, I did. I played just with randoms.
Yeah.
And I had fun.
Yeah.
So here's a kind of what's new to this genre. But it's been in Street Fighter forever. Bobby brought it up earlier. But you're building your ultimate. You need 4 bars to do your ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
But you have an ability that only takes 1 of those bars. So you can kind of sacrifice building up your ultimate
By using the lesser one. Okay.
And so it's like a mini ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with your ultimate. Anyway, you have to kind of like manage how that all goes.
That's really cool.
But if your partner dies, he drops this giant orb that gives you an instant ultimate. I did 2 ultimates in a row the other night.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was awesome. Like, yeah, it's really cool.
It's well designed. They have some humorous lines in it already, too. We were cracking up some. I agree.
Did somebody say bacon? That's what my guy says.
I agree. Additional costumes and all leave a lot to be desired.
It's early access still.
At the end of the game, you see the characters. So if you're like the MVP, then you're going to get a nice close up of your character.
Yeah.
And you might be able to show off some of your gear that way. But yeah, the cosmetics don't really add too much.
But the thing that was cool too is they're doing it similar to Overwatch, where you get these. the other tokens or whatever, you can buy your costumes using these other tokens similar to Overwatch.
And you only get 3 items per chest, but you're guaranteed a rare every time. So you're going to run out of stuff really quick if you play a lot.
Yeah,
and all of the stuff that you can buy and all the leveling up, because you level up your characters, each of them to level 10, but none of that gives you any sort of advantage when fighting. It's all cosmetic stuff. So I'm glad they did that. The only slight complaint I have is I wish it was a little quicker getting into the game.
Oh, yeah,
when you enter, these rounds take, what, a couple minutes tops for each one? And then you have best of 5, so, you know, an entire game will take you maybe 15 minutes sometimes. But a lot of that time is just waiting for everyone to pick their abilities. They give you 2 or 3 minutes to pick what you want your buff or power up to be. And then you have to go through this kind of animation of your characters being lifted up and then pulled into the arena. Then the gate comes down, then you run in. I mean, it's very cool, but it kind of gets old and you start to feel like you're spending half your time waiting just to get into the arena when you want to just be like, go, go, go.
Yeah.
Maybe the elevator should be going while you're picking.
Yeah. And you don't need that much time. It should be like 15
seconds.
You
have 3 abilities to choose from. It does not take you 2.5 minutes to make that decision.
But I think it might be early access. People are still reading abilities. They want you to have nice. Long but time
if I, I should clarify, if everyone picks their abilities, like both people on each team pick their abilities right away, then it goes.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're waiting that full duration every time.
All in all, this is well done. I'm really impressed. It doesn't have an actual release date yet, as far as I'm aware of. Who's the developer on this? Do we know?
Let's find out. I don't think it's anyone well known.
Some guys that are having a party right now.
Yeah.
Stunlock Studios. That's a good name.
Okay, Stunlock. That's cool. Yeah, so we highly recommend it. We're going to be playing some more, so if you guys are interested in playing with us, you know, jump on Discord, talk to us, jump on the Steam group. There's also other users, other listeners that also have been playing with us, so feel free to jump on and join the fun.
I had this thought right now. I got a play of a game with Bastion today.
Okay.
I was shooting a doorway. I killed one guy. I did not move my cursor at all. Another guy ran in. Another guy ran in. Another guy ran in. I said, triple kill. Quadruple kill. And then I got play of the game. I didn't move my cursor. I was literally left click.
You were tabbed out looking at porn.
I don't think I ever got a quadruple kill before.
So, no, but Bastion takes a lot of skill.
No, for sure.
Yeah. So I did decide, by the way, Bobby, I did decide that I'm doing the BlizzCon virtual ticket.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to do that.
Very cool.
So I will have some. Yeah. I'll have the new Bastion skin.
You know, when we talked about that last time, I think I wasn't sure which things were available to everyone and which ones weren't. But now I think I seem to remember all the events, all the tournaments, anybody can watch those. But all the special, like, behind-the-scenes presentations they do, you will have access to for 2 weeks.
Cool, cool.
All right, so what have we been playing this week?
I just played all the way through Radiator 2. This is a fan requested that I play it. I believe it was David is winning, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm down to play whatever, so...
We get a lot of these ones for some reason.
Yeah. This is a super gay game.
My goodness.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Emphasis on buts.
Now, and I kind of think that... We're looking at pictures.
Why didn't he recommend this one for me? Why did he make you play this
because
one?
It's funnier when we do gay shit.
Yeah. If you were like, oh, this is a game full of hot guys shaking their butts, and I really liked it, that's not funny. If I say...
Now, was it gay in the fact that there was actual homosexuality in this game, or did you feel like a homosexual playing the game?
Well, I just happened to have sex right after playing this. And it took longer than usual to get aroused.
I think my goodness.
It had mentally scarred me much.
Talk about the shifter one, because you teased it. You teased it a couple times, and I
so there's three different game modes, all more one each gayer than the next. Wow, he has shorts.
Oh my God.
So when you play the game, he doesn't have shorts. He's completely naked. So
he's talking about the fact that there is an option where you are literally just spanking this guy in the ass.
Yeah, and he loves it, obviously. Look at him.
Wow.
So he's not liking it very much. See how he's getting Bibles and poops? That's too much. You're hitting him too hard. Yeah. What you want is feathers and smiley faces. Oh, and this one, you got to fuck his mouth with the popsicle just right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
What's going on in the background? Holy
dude, it gets,
shit.
It gets super psychedelic, actually. Two of them gets really psychedelic. Basically, instead of orgasm, it just turns into like an explosion of color and light. And stuff.
That's how it happens for me.
Oh, that's yeah. Color and
okay.
Light.
Yeah. Amelia, my biggest question is, do you play this game with two hands or one hand?
Yeah. Or did you have Sam control it?
The control.
There's a lot of...
What's the shifter one? Because you kept bringing up you got to try the shifter one.
Well, I think the designer of the game specifically made it so you could play with one hand.
Oh, my God.
Oh, because everything's mouse controlled.
Yeah, everything's mouse controlled. So,
wow.
Yeah, the shifter one is really... you know, I had a great time playing this, just because I was laughing so much.
Yeah, you were like, Chad, get over here.
And
check this out.
And
I walk in.
So it doesn't pay to play.
The dude's in butt naked, bent over, and you can like see into his crack.
Well, there are microtransactions, Chi. You can pay $2.99 for lube, $3.99. No, I'm making all this up. but it is hilarious. I found it hilarious.
I don't know
if this was made as a troll game or not. I don't know if the guy's gay. There's like one character, right? So, and I think it looks like the guy. You know what I mean?
This is free though, right?
Yeah, this is free to play. And the graphics are really good for something that's free.
Yeah.
I was really surprised. Usually
they modeled all that dude's butt hair. That's
ironic.
His ass hair.
Yeah. Kind of ironically, you know, Chi was saying how I always play these 8-bit games.
Yeah.
The best graphics game that I've played in the last 2 weeks
is this one.
Is this homoerotic
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
So you're still not going to
either
tell
play
me
it
about
for
the
a goof or play it. For,
you're still not going to tell me about the shifter, huh?
I think I'm going to link this video game to like my brother
yeah,
and
do
have
it.
Him play it. This is one game where it's like, you know how in the past you would always like give somebody a link and it forward them over to something ridiculous like meatspin.com.
Yeah.
This is the game where it's like
a radiator kind of
radiator roll.
Makes you think it's like a racing game or something.
Yeah. You can't gift it though since it's free. Yeah. You can't gift people.
They should have made it like 99 cents.
Yeah, they should have made
it for a dollar. You can burn your friends. Bazing!
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
All right.
So I'm going to have to see this for the next couple weeks on Emilio's computer.
Yep.
So that'll be fun. So what else?
Let's skip the next one. Let's go to something else.
All right. Chad, you want to talk a little bit about something you've been playing?
Well, as people know, that I've been playing a lot of WoW. I just want to talk Five Man's In. They opened up Mythic Plus. So now there is three... I really like how they did it this year, or this expansion. Like, you never feel locked. You never feel like, I have to do this because I can't progress until I do this. It's always like, you got world quests you can do. You can do five mans that you can do. You can go through crafted items, which will give you crafted items all the way up to 850. So I just really like it. But they opened up the first raid, which I haven't yet done, the Emerald Nightmare. Mm-hmm. And then they opened up Mythic Plus. Mythic Plus, basically, you put a keystone in Mythic. So there's three levels of dungeon, Normal, Heroic, and Mythic. But if you go into Mythic and you have the keystone, you can put it in there, and it gets even harder. But the other thing it does is it sets a timer. So you can't... If you beat it, you'll always get the prize, but you won't upgrade your keystone unless you beat it in the time. The problem is the time is really quick, like 35 minutes to go through a five-man. And it's already increased 8% in arm and health and damage for all enemies. So 8% harder, and you have to do it in 35 minutes.
You
got to creep skip. You got
to
like...
That's exact. Yeah, I remember. Like, in order to speed through... I remember the last time I played was TBC, of course. But when Heroics were one of the hardest things.
Yeah.
Nobody knew how to really play Heroics. But I remember when I was first going through the instances, it'd be like a huge ordeal. It takes so long, and everybody kept on wiping and dying and, like, you know, running back. And then once everybody started gearing up and learning the Heroics, we would creep skip virtually all but one or two fights until you make it to the boss because you find all those loopholes. So maybe it's just really learning the instance, maybe not just like going through it. 35 minutes doesn't seem so bad, but it's
basically if you wipe once, you're done. That's the timing of it. If you wipe, you're done.
I've heard. I was talking to someone about this today. The keystone is like a token, a one-time use, and you get that from beating the mythic dungeon, right?
Correct. The first time, so this opened up this week. So if you beat a mythic dungeon, one of your things that you get at the end of it is this keystone. And the keystone...
And you can use the keystone on any other dungeon?
No. The keystone lists a dungeon. So okay. You can only use that keystone on that. But if you're running with a group of five, then you've got five keystones to work with. So say I've got a black rook hold keystone. So mm-hmm. It would be a level 2 black rook hold. So if we go into black rook hold and I put the keystone in and we beat it in the time and everything is right, I'll get a level 3, but it'll randomize again. It'll be some other... Vault of Wardens or whatever.
So for using these keystones, you get... Someone was telling me that you don't get any drops from the bosses.
You can't loot anything. You can't skin anything. All that happens is if you get through the level, if you beat the dungeon, there's a chest at the end with two items. But it's at mythic plus level, eye level items.
Okay, so really good gear.
Yeah, really good gear.
Oh, that's awesome.
But if you don't beat it in time, you get a depleted keystone... And you can continue to run that dungeon to see if you can get it in the time. And if you do, then you'll get an upgraded. If you don't, you turn in the keystones at the end of the week to get your prize. Because at the end of the week, if you've done a Mythic Plus successfully, you'll get personal loot. You'll get one item of personal loot because you ran the Mythic Plus.
On top of whatever
ones you've won.
One thing I wasn't clear on. So you beat a Mythic dungeon. You get five keys, and you only need one key to go play it.
Correct.
Okay.
So everybody in the five man got a keystone.
Yeah.
So then everybody's like, I got Black Rook Hold, I got Vault of Warrens, I've got
So there must be people like LFG that are like,
yeah, for sure,
that have one available. Hey, I got one. Let's go try this.
And people will be like, I've got Mythic 3, because if you beat it, you'll get a Mythic 3.
And just keep and getting then harder
you can
and harder?
And you can keep going and going
but
and
it
going.
It keeps getting harder and harder?
So Mythic 3 would then be 19, I think it's 19%, no, 17% to power, to attack, and health. And then Mythic 4 would be then like 27 or like percent to health.
Guys, the only reason I'm not playing this, especially after Chad told me hunters can have 3 pets, which I had to go lock my door after that.
And play some Radiator too.
But play Radiator too. But the only reason I'm not playing is because it would be the wow and hot happy fun hour every week.
We could talk WoW for an hour, but we understand that most of our listeners are not, so we're trying to keep it short.
And I have no problem with WoW or HOTS talk. I think it's fine that they come back and talk a little, because I'm interested. Like right now, that all sounded really interested.
It is cool.
Interesting, but I think somebody's got to play new games, and that's me right now.
Yeah. I had that mantle for a long time, and I passed it on to you for a little bit. The last thing I wanted to bring up is that the raid that came out this week will follow the same progression. So you can do a raid in regular, you can do a raid heroic, and you can then do a raid in mythic and mythic plus.
Gotcha.
So all of them. Oh, and the last thing is...
But if you pass a raid, then 20 people have keys. You can basically try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so... you can get up to 15 levels plus in the Mythic Plus. You can go up to Mythic 15 or whatever.
Damn.
But every 5 levels, they add a twist to it. So they have a bunch of different things, but it's basically like Diablo. When you do the harder setting, and then monsters just have random abilities that they'll do. Like this guy is just shooting electricity at all times. Or this guy is slows everything it hits. So they're going to do the same thing. So if you get into Mythic 5, you're going to experience mobs that have all sorts of abilities. Like they're shooting fire. Everybody's just doing AOE. So it's like...
Kind of keeps you on your toes.
Keeps you on your toes, exactly. So Mythic 5 is going to be like a challenge.
Gotcha.
And you have to level up your keystone to Mythic 5 in order to do that.
But you can keep leveling. As long as you beat the Mythics, you can keep leveling up your keystone as much as you want that first week.
Okay.
Theoretically, somebody could be on a Mythic 15 already if they were really that good. But I don't think we have the gear to do it that well.
Right, you don't have the gear yet. Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll see YouTube videos of somebody doing like a Mythic 6, right?
Man, I thought it was going to be a fun twist, like at level 5, like all the mobs have your ironic mustaches or something.
Maybe. I haven't seen that particular buff, but we might get it. So.
Ooh. All right. I got into a little bit of the PvP on WoW, and I'm a little disappointed in it, I guess. So they've gotten rid of all the PvP gear, and everybody, when they go into a battleground or an arena, it evens out all the statistics. So any stat that you've been building does not matter. What they do is they go by item level. Everything's all about item level now in your gear. So it gives you a 0.1% increase in stats for every item level you have over 800, I believe. So you can get a very minor benefit from gear, but hardly any. You keep the stats on your weapon. It's all about getting that weapon and upgrading it. So you go in with that. But then you also level up a separate talent tree in PvP now. It's kind of like your normal talents where you can pick one of three, and I think there's like 10 options, mm-hmm. but you have to level up in PvP from like 0 to 50 to get those options. I think I'm at 13 right now, so I can unlock all the first row of talents.
That's
Is that the
different.
Part you didn't like? You don't like this new setup? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know if I mean, it evens it out, so you don't have to spend forever getting all this gear and then going in, and it kind of prevents people from being really good just because they have good gear.
Yeah.
And it makes the PvP a little less grindy, but I don't know. In some way, it kind of...
You don't feel rewarded when you have gear.
Like, it's more skill-based, right?
Yeah, I guess, but, you know, the reason that they...
Shouldn't it be?
I agree with that, but what I also agree with what they said is it helps them balance a lot better, because if one thing is too strong with one class, they can just tweak it. And because it's the same across the board for everybody, then that's fine. They don't need to adjust anything else. So it helps big time with balancing.
So what's your complaint?
I don't know. It just...
Is it just boring?
Yeah, it doesn't feel as rewarding anymore. It's not like in PvE, it's like, oh, I got this piece of armor. Now everything's going to be a lot easier. Now everything's going to be great. You know, I don't get that excited from getting these. Now it's just like, okay, I grind to 50 mm-hmm. and I get all my abilities and I look up online what the best talent tree is for a disciplined priest.
But winning still feels great, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Were you doing arena or battleground?
I was doing a lot of battlegrounds.
Okay, gotcha.
You know what I remember about arena? And I remember being able to look at people's rank and, like, earnestly fearing them.
Yeah.
Like, feeling intimidated.
Oh, because, yeah, back in the day?
Yeah, back in the day, you're like, oh, whoa.
You saw, like, a Grand Marshal or whatever, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Maybe
it was like a raid boss.
Reputation.
It was a PvP raid boss when you saw,
and
like...
You earn that reputation. Yeah. There are people who only played WoW to PvP.
Yeah.
You know, every now and then they, like, jump into a raid to get, like, one item. But, like in my server, you knew who the, like, the PvP bosses were.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like their names were like.
So maybe, like, what if they put like cosmetic rewards, like obvious cosmetic rewards? Would that be?
But everything cosmetic now is all handled with transmog. So
you but that's, I think, one of the reasons why they did this is because since you can transmog gear, you can make your really awesome gear look like shit, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So you used to when you were battlegrounded or whatever, or arena, you'd go in and you'd look at his gear and you'd be like, oh shit. That, you know, that guy's got the newest level of PvP gear. Mm-hmm. That guy's a badass. Right. Now you can't do that because of transmog. You can make yourself look like, you know, whatever you want.
I don't know. I think it'll be a lot better in arenas, and I haven't played much of those. But what I'm also noticing, too, since I've been away from WoW for a long time, and now that I've come back, it seems like there are a lot more Alliance players than Horde.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the new area, questing from 1 to 110, everywhere I go, there's always just like three or four Alliance players and no Horde ones. So, of course, like, there's enough there, and I'm playing on a PvP server. So,
are you?
Yeah, yeah. So,
because I was running around with you and I saw the other guy, but I just kind of ignored him, and he ignored me. So, I'm wondering if he was just trying to get the fuck out of
the way. Well, that might have been on my Paladin, but on the priest that I'm now working on, it's a PvP server. So, every time I'll go to an area, there'll be like three Alliance guys, and when there's enough of them and then like one of me, then one of them is just like, yeah, let's get them. You know, it's like walking into the wrong bar in Texas. You know, it's just like not a good thing. So I'm having to watch my back. Plus, I'm a holy priest now, so like anytime someone attacks me, I just spam heals and run away until they get bored or tired. And, like, that's it. Like, I can't kill them.
Why are you leveling why are you doing quests and stuff as a holy?
I just made the switch the other day because I'm starting to do more dungeons, and holy priest is a lot easier and a lot more effective in dungeons.
But it sucks for soloing.
You could solo as Shadow. It's so simple to switch your... You don't need to... You can just... If you're not in combat, you can push N and switch your talent tree. Like,
But then I got to redo my hotbars. I got to set the presets for that.
No, like, they don't... They say... Unless you're using some third party that doesn't save them, it saves everything.
Like, I don't know. Maybe I'll try that.
Yeah, give it a go, because the only thing I would say is you're saving your arena, your artifact power for the weapon you want. So don't spend your artifact power until you get into the spec that you're trying to level up. Yeah. So if you're going Shadow but are leveling up your disc or whatever, save those tokens until you switch your spec over.
I'm really surprised at that. So many people are playing Alliance because it's the only thing gayer than Radiator, too.
That was kind of the consensus back when I used to play. It's like, and that's when I played Alliance, is when it was just a bunch of young kids and everybody kind of ragged on them for being less than Horde.
Night Elf Hunters, right? Or whatever it was.
Yeah.
They're all fucking demon hunters now and like stupid-ass rogues. You know what's so funny? Is I play with David Is Winning and a bunch of his friends, and one of them said something that was so goddamn true, and he's like, why is it always the fucking boomkins? And I'm like, dude, that is so true. Like, I'll just sit there, be doing my thing, and all of a sudden, fucking moonfire, I turn around and some big fat owl looking at me with that stupid look, and I'm just like, dude, fuck off.
Personally, I think that the, what are they called? Not boomkins, but the real name?
Balance druids.
What's that called? Something kin,
oomkins.
Right?
They're oomkins.
They're moonkins.
Moonkins.
Oh, sorry, I called them oomkins.
Yeah, they were called oomkins when they kept running out of mana.
Yeah,
the funniest thing in all of WoW. They're just ridiculous. It looks like something you see at like California Adventure or something, like some guy in a big suit or Gang Beasts.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like somebody in Gang Beasts.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys...
Not very threatening.
They put
so just to sum that whole part up, Bobby's not satisfied. He's dissatisfied with his PvP-ness.
Yep. That's correct.
Yes.
All right.
Chaos Reborn is a tactical online or solo play arena.
What are they called?
It's a tactics game.
Yeah, it's a
tactics game. So you're playing on a grid.
Like a Final Fantasy Tactics style game.
Except for yourself are represented as a... it's a lot closer to, what did I say, Duelist, I thought, than a lot of these. Because most of these tactics games...
Yeah, I could see it.
You're not represented. In this one, you're a wizard and you're represented.
And they've got a card kind of mechanic and a deck.
Yeah,
so it's very similar to Duelist.
And a lot of these games, just like Horde and Alliance...
This is Chaos Reborn again, by the way.
They kind of say, you guys are this team, and you guys are on this team, and you guys hate each other, but you're totally different, but you end up being the same. This, actually, the mechanics are completely different for both factions. And I find... First of all, let me say that I really like this game. I like tactics games. I like things that where you can summon... stuff, you can buff yourself, and there's a lot of strategy. Makes you think you're smart when you do something right.
Yeah.
It's the chess of PvP, I would say. But anyway, there's an order side and a chaos side, and they're vastly different. Chad was playing the chaos side, and when he was describing stuff that I didn't even see on my screen.
We were both doing the tutorial independently.
Yeah, we're doing the tutorial independently, but we're on voice chat. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, no, he's like, no, there's a chance of doing that. There's no chance of what?
Yeah, like, just look at his health bar. You can see how much health he has. I'm like, what health bar? What the fuck are you talking about?
So, and then he's like, you can kill anything in one hit. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? So... it seems like, or it is, that chaos is built on random chance.
Percentages.
And, well, yeah, but then the random chance of
RNG.
Yeah, within that percentage. So you explain the chaos.
So the chaos side is all based around percentages. So if you want to play a card and it would have a high mana cost, the percentage of you successful in casting it would be low. So it would be like a 40% chance to cast this. versus a card that would be have a low mana cost would have a high percentage, but it would never hit 100%, I don't think. 90% was the best. So there's always that risk of you failing whatever.
But you could cast a really big creature.
Yeah, you could cast first turn an ogre.
First turn. Meanwhile, on order, I have a mana bar, and everything is very, like, this costs 20 mana,
yep.
and you cast it for 20 mana. He hits for 20. He can't randomly. You can probably crit. My guys can't crit.
There's no health bars. You either hit, you kill the guy, or you don't kill the guy.
Oh, really?
But it's all based around percentages. So your littlest guy could kill the ogre, but right. he probably only has a 10% chance of doing it. But yeah. if you hit it, that 10% chance, the dude goes down.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I don't think my guys can miss.
Yeah, your guys can't miss.
See, so there you go.
But it's only they deal the damage they deal, so it knows whether or not you're going to kill the guy 100% for certain.
And this entire game seems like it's checks and balances like this. You can save your mana, or you can spend it as you go. That's one risk versus reward. Or you can save up and make a super, what are they called, mega spell?
Mega spell.
And then it's like a souped up version of a regular spell. I think it's great. Chad, well, I don't know if Chad likes tactics games.
You start so far away, you literally can't do anything for like six turns. So it's literally the first four turns is you moving forward two squares and dropping a creature. You moving forward two squares, dropping a creature, as he's doing the same thing. They didn't have anything with a lot of range. There was no need to put us so far apart. Like, put us six spots away.
But we were in the tutorial. When you get to the point where there's mana springs, that's part of the strategy, getting yourself to the mana springs.
Yeah.
So you could cast more.
The fact that the strategy I ended up a lot of times was wait till he ran out of cards and then go over and kill him
yeah.
was stupid to me.
Which is like, not going to work in PvP, though.
But yes, it will. Do you have a limited number
okay,
of cards?
Okay, let's play each other.
Okay. I'll just avoid you the whole time, dropping my stupid shit until we run out.
What is funny about this game, though, is I totally would rather play Chaos.
Yeah.
But I just didn't. And I think Chad would probably
Well, I read what the two meant, and so I made a choice. You know what I mean? I did. The art is really cool. Like I thought that was all done really well. I didn't like the illusion part of it. They've got a whole like
that's another one. That's another.
A whole like mini game where you can cast basically anything as an illusion, which doesn't cost anything. But the other guy has a spell that he can just use anytime to kind of see if something's an illusion. And I didn't understand why that was even involved there.
Bobby, do you want to interject?
What was that for?
He's thinking about some streamer that fucking...
No, dude. When you kept saying illusion, and there's this part, I hate to do this, but I'm going to bring up World of Warcraft again. There's a part, this area in Surumar, you know, where you have to disguise yourself.
Yep.
And there's these guys
you end
that
up getting
around.
That at the end.
Yeah.
Like that disguise is just permanent.
Yeah, yeah. But there's these guys that can detect you while you're in there. And one of them, every time he kind of detects you, he goes, an illusion. So when he said illusion, right. I kept thinking like, an illusion.
Gee, none awesome. Of this makes you want to play this game?
Well, this is interesting, but is it only against the...
Oh, no, no, no. I was talking about WoW. Like, it sounds like they're having so
Dude,
much
that's
fun.
Dude, that's asking a
oh,
lot.
Oh, no, no, no.
No,
it's
she's one a of Twitch. Those. She's a Twitch gamer.
Yeah, and I don't think WoW is a good game to watch on stream. Like, I don't watch... Yeah. I can't watch something.
Meanwhile,
WoW.
She hasn't streamed in
Yeah, I've barely
months.
Gamed, but I did game. I actually gamed, offline. I moved my computer over to my boyfriend's, and yeah. he doesn't... my internet is only through LAN, and I'm not going to, like, put a cord all the way from my studio into his.
What's wrong with his internet?
He doesn't have internet. We share internet.
What?
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 He has Wi-Fi.
Wow.
He has my
you.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
The story of how we met, remember?
Yeah.
Their password is I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, have you guys seen this thing where like people are yeah. neighbors yeah. arguing with their Wi-Fi
yeah.
names?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like I can hear you having sex, and the other was like the response is something like
be jealous.
Get your own or something yeah. like that. Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. No, but speaking of gaming, can we move on to Divinity?
Yeah.
That is actually the game I've been playing.
Let's just wrap it up. I really liked it. Chad thought it was too slow.
Yeah, I thought it was too slow. But it's still early access, right? I think?
No.
No, it's been out for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, has it?
And
oh,
this is a
okay.
game that has
then no, I don't recommend
the
it.
Giveaways on Steam. I know I've had extra copies of this.
But if you're into tactics and you're into RTS style and turn-based stuff, I could definitely see it being interested.
Personally, this is right up my alley. Like, I, even
yeah,
the
you
first
were
five minutes,
excited.
I'm like, this is This is my bag right here.
My question is this all versus AI or is there actual multiplayer?
There's a campaign and there's PvP.
Yeah, you can play against. Okay. We never did play against each other, did we?
No. We didn't get through the tutorial, which is robust because there's five steps and each step has three branching things if you want to do them.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chi. Go ahead.
Oh, no.
Go ahead. Because I'm excited to talk about this.
I am too. I am super excited. Finally, got that one game that I'm playing that I am itching to play all the time. And I stopped gaming when I started dating someone. And now this is the first game I can actually co-op with somebody who's more on a casual level and still very much enjoy myself. Yeah. It is Divinity Original Sin, the Enhanced Edition. When that went on sale for $19.99, I had to get it. So I picked it up and plugged into controllers and am super impressed with it. So I started playing co-op adventure games with like Baldur's Gate. And this is, to me, Baldur's Gate perfected in terms of how they give you enough player options, ability options, and not only that, it's turn-based, which I like. Baldur's Gate isn't turn-based, but this one here, it's turn-based. So when you're playing with somebody else, even though my boyfriend plays at a slower level than me, he didn't even know what a pot was. I'm like, use your pot. He's like, what's a pot? And I'm like, gah! Yeah. But anyways, like,
no sex for you.
Oh my God, if only.
wow.
No. The great thing about it is like, it brings, like, generally when you play co-op, you have to be on very similar levels in order to enjoy the game.
Right, yeah.
With this one here, it was a true co-op in terms of communication. Mm-hmm. Like whether we're roaming around the main city, looting people, or figuring out a quest line, even discussing
battle.
Battle especially. Like you have to communicate, you have to kind of work together and strategize together. And he's actually really good at the game, and it's fun playing with him. It's because we're working together. And
I was playing that game on a controller.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Oh, really? So we constantly have a problem with misclicking.
Oh.
Does that ever happen on the controller?
No, I've never really misclicked on a controller.
It happened our last game.
What happened?
Yeah. The characters, we talk about it all the time. Yeah. The characters sway like this, like just like a little bit.
Oh.
And if you misclick a little bit, you instead of attacking somebody, you'll walk over to them. And it's awful. Yeah, it's really bad. Mm-hmm. Question, so what kind of characters are you guys playing? Because almost everyone inevitably starts over because they don't like their first build.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't even made it to level 5 yet, but I've been playing. The first night we ever played this, we stayed up until past 5 a.m.
It's amazing. It's an amazing game.
I was hooked on. I was like, oh my gosh, we just, you know, we have our own individual dialogue and whatnot. So I love playing the caster class. So I did the dual wielding wand user. What are they called?
Whatever you want. It depends what kind of spells you're playing.
Yeah, but
are they water-based, poison-based, earth-based?
Yeah, air-based and water-based right now.
Oh, that's what I am.
Yeah.
That's really good.
So
it's a strong combo.
I'm a dual-wielding mage, and he is the knight class. So he he does a two-hander, but also has heals.
Okay.
So, and we just picked up a third.
Lay of hands stuff?
Kind of. It was just a Band-Aid. And then we just picked up a third person to our party, and it's the, not just picked up, we've had him for a while, it's the rogue.
Which is the rogue?
So he's kind of like your tanker.
I like the rogue. I played a lot of the rogue on our first playthrough. The rogue, you meet him in the cave.
The mute.
I never remember picking him up.
We never picked him up because I was the character.
He's at the bottom of the well, huh?
Yeah, he's like at the bottom of the well in that weird cave. But we always went with Bear Doter, the hunter, and the mage. And then one time we got that chick in the bar who was like the two-handed weapon.
Yeah, depending on our playthrough.
I want to pick up more people.
Well, you can have up to four. But you can
definitely get the... I would say what you're missing is the archer. I would get the archer.
Yeah, we need some range. That would be nice.
And she can charm people easily, which helps so much.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, the archer you got a lot of flexibility with because she can use different types of arrows. So there can be like a poison arrow, a cloud arrow, a stun arrow. Yeah,
I've been needing an archer more that I've given the dual responsibility to the rogue for both melee and arrows. So I'll start him off. I'll start him off.
The archer
CC.
Does not do a lot of damage until later in the game.
Yeah.
The rogue I really like. I thought that was probably the most fun I had playing. I feel like you got to have a mage because they just put out the damage.
Mm-hmm. And CC. I'm doing most of the CC.
Mm-hmm. So we're only playing as two.
There's an option.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, if you go lone wolf, then you can only play as two, but your characters are stronger. So we went that route.
So we can't bring in more people, mm-hmm. but we're buffed. Does that make any sense?
I saw that ability. That is kind of cool.
But you said it's harder, right? You said it's harder because there's only two characters.
We got the hang of it now.
The damage is only split between two instead of four, right?
It's a lot quicker, though. Like, the battles go quite a bit quicker.
And he's tanky. It's so much fun. So last night we were playing. I think it was last night. Was it?
You could only play with two people. So it's co-op only. You can't
play with four, right? There's a mod where you can play with four people, but you have to install the mod and then make sure everyone's running it. And, yeah, because we played with Chad once. We had three people in there.
But the sequel is going to have that inherently.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It's just so... It's like
it is slow.
I wouldn't say slow, but just it's very methodical.
Like
you got to make choices, you know, every 30 seconds, and you guys are making discussions.
I'm trying to bring up this story. Lab Monkey came into our Discord and he was just hanging out. We were we only, hey, let's play some Divinity. You know what that means? One fight at this point. And we were talking for probably 7 minutes straight on each point of that fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Lab, do you have any idea what we're playing? And he's like, it's, I don't know, it sounds super complex or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like one fight, seven minutes of talking.
Not just 7 minutes. Like at this point now, I haven't gotten that far in the game, but like there have been so many times where I was like, oh my gosh, I just want to redo this fight over.
You gotta do saves.
Quick shave.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, no, and then during our conversation, we're like, oh, you know, I want to play Divinity, but we can't play Divinity unless we put at least 3 hours and my boyfriend aside for this.
That's not true.
And it's my very boyfriend's difficult. Like, no, if not more.
I think you can play a little bit and then kind of come back to it, but it's really difficult to go away for a while and then come back and pick up where you left off because the quest line is very, very difficult. It's like old school WoW where they don't give you the quest markers or anything. Like you have to actually read the text. You have to talk to somebody in the village who gives you a hint. Yeah, or look it up, what we do. But I kind of like how they did that. But at times it's, you know, when we started playing again, I was like, dude, I don't know where the fuck we're going. Like, I know we got to get into Hyberheim and that there's like some magic portal blocking it. And I played through all this like on my single player playthrough, but it was so long ago I can't even remember what we did.
How did we not give
this Game of the Year? I think it's because Enhanced Edition had to come out.
At the end of the year when we were talking about our game of the Year, we're like, you know, everyone was talking about Divinity. Somebody did. I think it was like IGN or something. Somebody gave that Game of the Year. And then I went back and played it 2 months later. I'm like, this is probably my top three Game of the Year. And then like a couple months later, I'm like, okay, it's probably number two for 2014. And I don't know. It might be number one. I think number one was Wolfenstein.
Guys, this game is so good that if you're not into RPGs or top-down or you just play, it's transcendent, I think. I think it appeals to pretty much everybody, but there is a huge caveat. The first 2 hours are grueling. Like, I can't believe you got through it.
Really?
The whole part...
We were having
inside
fun.
The town.
Oh yeah, inside the town, it's overwhelming. Like my boyfriend and I, like we got like it got to the point where I'm like, let's just stop. Like walking around talking to people, let's just go out and fight things.
Yeah,
so we actually would
break up the monotony.
It does get monotonous, but it does also give you the option to go out and explore and kind of like, you know, get what you need and then go back. And
they give you like a fight or two at the beginning and then you spend the next 2 hours running around a town. I feel like that's where a lot of people lose interest.
But she is right.
Mm-hmm.
You're not leveling up in town, so you could walk out and start fighting at any point. So that was
perfect. The whole quest line is revolved around the town, so you kind of have to do that at some point.
Yeah.
I think,
did you dig up all the graves?
We did, and...
got your ass kicked.
Yeah. And then we're like, okay, quick load, and let's not do that again.
I'm just kind of disappointed you're playing the Enhanced Edition, so you don't get the cheese vendor in all its glory.
What's the cheese vendor?
I linked one of our videos because we don't, I think a lot of our people don't even know that we had I guess we still have a YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
We just haven't added any content. There's some good stuff on there. You should go on there, Chief.
I honestly really like, I would want to convince my boyfriend to do streaming with me. Maybe not video streaming, but at least voiceover streaming, because we are gaming together now. Mm-hmm. And I miss streaming, but I just haven't set aside time.
You know what would be cool? If, like, I don't know, I'm just thinking here, but if... Can you see his computer from from the webcam?
Because he doesn't have a computer.
If you can see the back of... Oh, what are you guys playing? Oh, you guys are playing on the same screen. I forgot.
Yeah, same screen co-op. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the cheesebender will be in the sequel.
Well, they got the wrong... They got a different... They got some fucking weird
After this podcast, we'll put it up on the big screen, and you'll see the glory of the cheesebender, and our listeners can go to the YouTube.
He should have his own spin-off DLC or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
cheesebender. Tales of the cheese.
Drinking while playing is going to be the next suite for the next two things. Golf with your friends came up again. I told you that I bought it for Chad. I made him play it because I said... We were already drinking. I was like... All right, we're playing this or whatever the fuck. So we started playing for shots. And Chad, am I right? It's just a perfect vehicle for drinking.
It was so much fun. And like, literally, you're right. Like, you don't have to know video games. It's kind of Golden Tee-esque where you aim, you set the power to it, and you just go.
But not even the power is, like, you know, on Golden Tee, I think it was, like, one of these things where...
Yeah, you roll it back and then roll it forward.
But also, like, on Madden, when you're kicking, like, goals, it's a timing thing. It's not even that.
Yeah,
you just pulled back the mouse to where you think it might be,
exactly.
Right?
Like a slingshot.
The only thing would be you have a timer, so if you run out of time, you get a 14-stroke.
14 strokes, which is out of time.
Yeah, which is brutal. So we were playing, so the first game, he gave me 5 strokes.
And I won by one or something.
No, you lost the... No, we tied the first
time.
Oh, we
tied. That's true.
So
nobody did a shot.
Yeah. So then we played it. Like, there's 3 different maps on Golf with Your Friends.
I think I covered all this. Basically, what did you think?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, not wow fun, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And if you're using this as a drinking game, it's super fun because this is just the perfect...
Oh,
tool.
This is a lot of fun.
But
it's like
buggy.
Like
it is buggy,
it's
and
like
it's not
golf.
The greatest.
It is mini golf, but you're all playing at the same time, so you can see his ball be running around while your ball is shot, and you can't really see where the goal is a lot of times. So you have a natural advantage if you played the levels before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's like secret ways that you can go and all sorts of different stuff. It's just a lot of fun, but
it's almost like letting a Hot Wheels loose.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, colliding with your friends or getting around.
Yeah, but honestly, if you're not drinking with your friends, this has about
zero
30 minutes of
I mean,
play.
Yeah. But what
don't play this by yourself
when
you're drinking with your friends.
Yeah.
Well, it's higher than most games for drinking with your friends, I think. That's all, I guess, what I'm saying. So I was playing games and drinking the other night. Here's our suite. And Jason came over. This is usually when we reference our non-game player friends, it's usually Jason.
Okay.
He just knocked on the door. And it was like almost bedtime, but he's drunk, so it's time to drink.
Okay.
So he came in. So he's like, "Let's play some games." So we started playing.
Because he's a former game player.
Yeah, he's a former game player.
He and I
he had fun last time we did it. And I was like, "Dude, call your brother." His brother lives underneath me. He's our neighbors underneath. So he called his brother. All of a sudden, at 11:30 p.m., we have a 4-player co-op going on.
That's awesome.
And everybody's drinking. And
your wet dream, basically.
What?
Because you keep wanting to have like 4-player co-op drinking.
Yeah, all the time.
That was my dream too.
I know.
On my
cheese wet dream also.
My latest Instagram post, not on DL Gaming, but on my personal Instagram, was
Have you posted anything on our Instagram?
I will take some fancy pictures, shirts, and post them.
Oh yeah,
I suppose we could all post on.
Have
our
you even
Instagram.
Looked at our Instagram?
I don't even have Instagram.
Who's Instagram?
DL Gaming.
I don't have one.
Instagram. Oh. But no, basically, so DL Gaming Podcast. If you haven't checked out our Instagram, check it out. I'll have the new t-shirts on there.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get to see all our lovely faces and our setups. Actually, it's really clean. I like our Instagram a lot. Okay. And
I like it too.
Yeah, and I'll put
I've
more.
Heard great
I'll
things.
I need to take better pictures to put on there because I'm kind of a little snobby with Instagram.
Okay.
But in my personal Instagram, the latest picture I posted was basically my dinner table. I made spring rolls, and I called it Dinner and Divinity. So it was a co-op date night. And I was like, cool. Yeah, this is basically like...
Excuse me. Perfect for our Instagram, by the way.
Yeah. Oh,
P.S.
Yeah.
P.S.
Okay, I'm about to walk out of here. I will repost, but it was great. So
you're playing multiplayer.
And I just went through all the usual suspects. Move or Die, Gang Beasts,
Star
Hidden
Wall?
In Plain Sight, and Starwall. Yeah. And
no Overcooked?
No Overcooked, because we're playing with non-gamers, right? So
Overcooked's perfect for that. They got two buttons.
I think they could figure it out.
I would have got frustrated.
I thought they were former gamers, not non-gamers.
So all of them went over well. And, the reason I'm bringing this up is because if you have a non-gamer friend and like basically the big winner here, and it always is...
Gang Beasts.
No, it's not Gang Beasts, dude. Ever since those patches, and I just read the patch notes, and I guess they're having issues with the newest patch, and you can't knock people out, so you're just fucking clicking nonstop, and you get tired of it. Nobody's getting knocked out, and if you knock them out, it's flash knockout, so it's just kind of like not fun. It's still fun, it's just not what it was.
You went down a rabbit hole, like you were going to mention something, then you started talking about it, like we need to go back and watch.
Well, he cut me off. I'm going to go back to Hidden in Plain Sight.
Hidden in Plain Sight.
Anyone can play this.
Is this the one where... Which one?
Ninjas versus Knights.
Gotcha.
And specifically one mode called Death Race.
Oh, is that the one where you have to go from left to the right screen?
Oh, my God. It's just a perfect vehicle for hilarity. It's so much fun.
This is a game where you have to act like the AI.
Yeah, so you're trying to act like AI.
The better you can act like the AI, the less noticed you'll be. And so the mode that he's talking about is the AI is moving from left to right, and there's a goal on the right. So you want to be the first guy to reach the goal. But if you make yourself obvious, the other guys can use their one-time ability.
Sniper shot.
To try to snipe people. Right. So you don't want to be the front, because if you're the front, then people think you're a character.
But you don't want to be second, because if it comes down to a foot race, you're going to lose.
You're going to lose.
Guess who won this? Almost every time.
Jason?
Yeah, Jason. Yeah. Almost every time. He's such a sneaky fuck, dude.
Yes.
Now, I was at his house the other day, and he was explaining to me...
Being a sneaky fuck?
He was explaining to me, like how he was doing it. And he's like, yeah, I'm really stupid. He kept thinking I was looking at his hand, and he put a towel over it. But all you got to do is this, this, and this. I'm like, yeah, dude, you figured it out, man. Like, he got it.
Did you ever see the Harrison Ford movie, Clear and Present Danger? There's a whole scene about the sniper... where he's sniping the things down and they're trying to find him. It's a training exercise. And then the sniper ends up getting up. He's like, and the general's like, how did you do that? And the sniper responds by being a sneaky bastard, sir.
That's awesome.
That was Jason right there. So what else we got?
I think that's it for the meat of the podcast.
Yeah. Let's move on to listener questions. First one, the one that we didn't get to last week.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Comes from Mobius X1. If you guys have the time/budget necessary, what would be your dream game to make? Curious as to what each host thinks.
I have two answers, so I will start with one. I've always wanted to make a Smash Brothers clone with a Smite character, or Smite gods. I think they would be easy to make, and it would play very easily. I don't know.
Isn't there a battle arena in Smite that kind of makes it similar to?
But I'm talking 2D platformer, all their abilities match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really like those characters. They're gods. They're real gods.
Yeah.
It's a very robust like pantheons. I love it. And I love Smash Brothers, and I love both those games, and I just want to put them in one. That's it.
I would make virtual reality World of Warcraft, old school style. I would throw away anything post...
Does WoW have VR support?
No, but I would throw away any... Support. Like, I'm going big
really?
On this one. Yeah. Like, I would throw away anything...
You're talking about millions of dollars.
Yeah, and all the time and budget necessary. He's basically... giving me God's hand here, you know, in terms of like what I would do. And I would remake World of Warcraft, but in like its earlier stages rather than its current stages in terms of like immersion and and social element and everything
you
else.
Read, it went in with immersion.
Immersion is like immersion, but you're moving pretty quickly.
Yeah. Oh, did I use the wrong word?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
You know what I want or what I meant. So that's what I would do, honestly, but like in virtual reality.
Chad, do you think EverQuest would more easily be put on to VR than
because
WoW?
Of the simple graphics?
Well, it wasn't a setup for first person.
Yeah, those it was. So I mean, bad. You can go first person in WoW too.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
Yeah. Bobby, but did you want
maybe not even first person. Like, I'd like to just like semi third person maybe. No, I mean, it is.
You can't do third person in VR. Well, I mean, you can.
It would be weird.
There's a platformer. One of the Lucky's Tale or something like that?
The one that shipped with Oculus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like a VR where you. Weird.
I don't know. The whole point is to kind of make yourself feel like you are actually inside the game. Thing.
It did get good reviews, so it must be a good game, but I just thought it was kind of a weird move.
Yeah.
Bobby? Right.
Am I going next? Because, Chad, you said you had like a half-hour-long response to this.
Yes, right. That is correct.
There's a game that I swear existed. It was maybe like a Flash game or something, and I've tried to look for it, and I have not been able to find a trace of it. So maybe it didn't exist, and it was just something I thought of. But it was a 2D fighter, but with all the presidents. And each had moves based on, like, you know, that kind of coincided with their presidency.
Hold on. Are you 100% sure it was the presidents and it wasn't?
There's one with the Bible characters.
No. There's one where it was the
inventors.
Scientists.
The scientists, yeah.
It's like
Isaac.
Or I mean,
No, I'm definitely sure. Maybe this was like in early access on Steam. I saw it there, and then it kind of failed or something.
Really?
I don't know, but I swear it existed. But I don't know. People always ask about educational games, and it's so hard to make a game that's educational because as soon as someone like sniffs it out, like this game is trying to teach me something, then like you're done with it. But I think that would be a good way to kind of integrate some history into something that's, you know, pretty fun. You can make like the dialogue, you know, in Street Fighter when you win, like each character has like a line or something. You
work
in a little there.
7 years ago.
Yeah, you get a little history, and then there are
how
special
about, like,
moves
like a GTA with presidents.
GTA, wow.
I don't know if that would work as well, though. I mean, how would you work precedence into that?
I mean, historically.
How about an MMO set in 1776, like American Revolution time?
I'm not a big fan of colonial times.
How about just like one giant presidential Oval Office orgy?
Okay. I mean, that went a different direction.
Presidential.
I feel like we're getting off track.
Trying to corral the cats back in the cages.
So I don't know. Maybe that game existed. Maybe it was an illusion.
Oh man,
an illusion.
All right. So for me,
callback.
I'm going to mention two things. So the first one that I've always wanted, and if this gets made, I expect royalties, is a sports creator. So basically, you set up the field how you want. So is it going to be an arena? Is it going to be a square field? Is there going to be a net? Is there going to be dirt areas? And then you could set the rules. Is there offsides? You could select your ball. Is it using a round ball? Is it an oval ball? So basically you can create a game however you want, and then you could play it just like any other sports game where you could play it just exhibition games, or you can play franchise mode. You know, basically,
I think you can do this in Tabletop Simulator, but it's for like board games.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
Very similar, but except for it's not like physical.
You're talking about a sim game, though.
Like, yeah,
a sim game where you create your own sport.
But then you would play that sport, right?
But then you play the sport.
Yeah,
and then you could basically put it online, and if people are interested in playing your rules and your sport, you could then challenge each other.
It's almost like a Garry's Mod
sort of simulator, but with sports. Mm-hmm. So I'm picturing like a soccer field, but they've got pads on, but one of the goalie has a rocket pack or something like that, and they're using a frisbee, you know, like something crazy like that.
I haven't heard this idea. I really like it.
Yeah,
pretty cool. Yeah.
So the sports creator is kind of one of my ideas, but if I had all the time and budget, I would create an MMO because I love MMOs. But there's a couple things that I would do that I haven't either seen or I haven't seen done well. The first thing I would do is not have classes. So you basically, when you come in, you get four abilities. You've got a melee attack, you've got a spell, you've got a heal, and you've got some sort of defensive move, right?
So every class does everything, basically.
No. All you get is those four abilities.
That's how EverQuest 2 was.
Yeah, somewhat similar. But you eventually did pick classes. This game, the game I would create, you wouldn't pick classes. So basically, you'd go in and you'd start playing, and you'd do whatever you felt like you wanted to do. If you wanted to do spells, you could do spells. But say you used the fireball spell, which is your basic spell, and you use it 10 times. That would then level up, and you would get a new ability through that spell. So now you've got maybe a flame strike, where you can do an area of attack. So if you continued to use your spells, they would get stronger. But those other three abilities would still be their basic abilities. You wouldn't be leveling them up.
What if you leveled everything up?
You have a limit. So if basically picture a web.
It's getting very technical here.
Picture a web. And so if you grow out in one area, you would shrink in the other areas. So if you did spells, your other abilities would shrink because you weren't using them. But you can. If you start using your melee attacks, then your melee attacks would grow and your spells would shrink.
I would just like right-click a rock until my arms, like, you know.
But then you'd have a limit. Yeah. You'd have a certain amount of points, and they would just kind of shift around.
Go in one direction so much.
Yeah. But then I
like how I'm liking girls a little bit less as more. I like Radiator 2.
Your Radiator 2 area is growing.
Yeah,
And then your interest in girls is shrinking.
Yes.
But it's like real life, right?
Right.
But then the game would organically.
Fellas, email me at emilio@theallgaming.net.
For Radiator. Oh, sorry. Just since we're on the off topic. For Radiator, if you could have the main character be any president, which one would it be?
President?
Yeah. Which president?
I was going to say Hillary,
but
that would, I was going to say Hillary, but that would be too hetero.
That's not gay
too
at all.
Too
yeah.
hetero. I would say Trump, so we could fuck him as hard as he's going to fuck America.
Fair enough.
Assuming he makes it to presidency.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Politics. Anyways, politics.
Not our strong suit.
I have a lot more to that, but that was just a tease. I think right. That'll be enough for now.
Let me say my second political simulator game. I want to check out the new version.
I can't believe you want that achievement, Bobby.
I don't think the achievement. The achievement does not exist anymore.
He's really upset about this. What's our runtime?
We're at 1:15.
Oh, that's fine. My other one is I want to do a zombie survival game, of course, but it's going to be top down and it's going to be a simulation, not really action oriented. I've talked about this several times, but I want it to work out with Google Maps so it figures out your neighborhood.
Zombie-o.
Yeah. No,
that'd
no.
be cool.
It's top down, but it works from your neighborhood. So if there was a real zombie invasion and you're working from home, how it would actually go? Like, the Target would be somewhere where you could get some food, or the 7-Eleven would be somewhere you can get some food, and the industrial place might be somewhere you can get a lead pipe, and it's all really actual locations in your real neighborhood, and you just work your way out. And then maybe I would talk to Chi, and Chi's starting over in PB, and we would try to get to each other with all real locations in between us, because it's working off of Google Maps.
We're doing a little AR cool. Pokemon Go stuff in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Nice.
I like
I can
it.
See that.
Yeah.
Even though I don't like zombies, I like that.
All right. So we got one more question here. We all ready for this? Rubber Nuts is asking if anyone has seen his keys.
Well, he was pretty upset. I believe he was on a 2-day bender, and he asked, had anybody seen his keys? Because his missus is going to be really upset.
He's a listener of ours, an Aussie.
He's a crazy Aussie.
You did a listener interview, like 5-6 weeks ago, something like that? So if you want to hear crazy Aussie Rubber Nuts, then you can do that if you go back.
Or join the Discord.
Yeah, or join Discord and you can learn all about too much.
I have
much,
not seen your keys.
Too much stuff
you
about
you do hold the key
listeners.
To my heart, Rubber Nuts.
All right, we got a little bit of news, not a whole lot, so let's breeze through this. Battle.net changes its name to Blizzard. So Battle.net is something that's been around forever and ever.
Blizzard I remember Tech, using, sir.
Blizzard Tech?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that part.
I read it.
That sounds terrible. I would be surprised if they were actually doing that.
Well, they can't call it Blizzard because Blizzard is Blizzard. So,
well, it's just giving a name to this stuff because Battle.net is like the launcher. And back in the day, it was like you need a Battle.net username to get into Warcraft 3. I think they'd been using this since the 90s, like mid-90s. And they're just changing it to Blizzard just to kind of streamline everything. And the example they gave is like now that they're doing streaming on Facebook, it's called Blizzard streaming and not Battle.net streaming. It's really
an inconsequential change, but it's, I don't know.
They had to do it. It was outdated.
Yeah.
I've thought Battle.net sounded terrible since, let's see, when did I try to get online? Probably Diablo.
It was Diablo 2 that was the very first one that had.
Yeah.
I feel like for newer gamers that are getting into Blizzard games, like, you know, Battle.net, they probably don't see like the correlation, but just like since we started with Battle.net and kind of saw the like transformation of Blizzard and there's a lot of history with that name. It's like for me, I make the instant connection. So when I think Battle.net, I'm like, okay, that's Blizzard.
Yeah.
But then for new people, they're like Battle.net.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense.
And new people don't even use like Battle.net. I only go there to like log into my account to check out stuff on my account.
And let's all be honest here. Everybody knows that a .net is placed second fiddle to .com. And I'm more on that on dlgaming.net.
Very, very good. Very true.
EVE Online goes free to play.
It's going to be limited abilities, or what you can do is going to be limited, but at least you can go get your beak wet for free and see if you like the game.
Yeah. So hopefully it'll open it up to a lot more people to get into it. And from what I've heard described by people who know this a lot better than we do, it's not going to affect the economy of the game. I know one of our listeners plays a lot of that. Maybe he can give us a bit more info, but a lot of people were very worried when they heard free to play, like, oh, that's going to ruin the game. It's going to ruin the economy. But apparently they've done it in such a way where, it's still going to work. It's still going to allow new people to join the game, but also allow the people who have been playing the game to do what they like to do.
And I do believe that there's corporations set up for new players, which are probably going to explode now. This is what this game needs. I don't know how many years? A ridiculous amount of years, right?
Yeah, 9 years, long. Probably.
For a while, right?
And, sure, but yeah, right. You know, you have a strong but loyal fan base, but maybe things are getting stagnant. Maybe once a year they make the headlines still, which are still great to read because it's just great. But, this is what you need. You need fresh new players to come in, get hooked.
I played this, 2 years ago when I did some reviews on this?
You really liked it.
Yeah. It was hard to hold my attention. Something about being in space, you're not, like, tethered to anything. I get this kind of disconnect when I play these kind of games.
You know what's funny is the base part of this game was like where you are. You're in your little pod, right?
Yep.
Which is so similar to like Warframe's pod.
Gotcha.
But when you go into action, they couldn't be more different.
Yeah.
You know, like one's a ninja cyber jumping off the walls, Twitch and the other one's like a spaceship sim where you got to make sure. Who was it? Who's the big player? Oh, it's Lizbell.
Yeah.
I was talking to him, and I said, okay, by now you must have your own corporation and run the whole, because you play so much, right? He has some ridiculous amount. And he's like, no, man, this is the highlight of my whole thing. And he linked me a YouTube link. So I watched the link, and it was like a PvP match for five, like, ships versus five ships. And they duked it out. I kind of understood a little bit of it, and then it was over. And I got back. I was like, "Did you win?" And he's like, "We practiced for like 3 months for that 2 minutes because those ships,
you don't get them back. Yeah, they're so expensive.
They're really expensive. And if you lose, it's super high stakes because if your ship gets blown up, it gets blown up in your real game too." Mm-hmm. And they lost, but still, that was the highlight. And it was shoutcasted and everything, you know?
Really?
You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's this game, man, it's a whole different world.
I mean, there's been a strong, loyal following of a select number of people for a long time, and maybe this will kind of open it up to some new people. We'll see.
Seems like a very high investment game. Yeah. Really.
Before we move on from news, I just wanted to talk a little bit. I was reading this article on Steamed. Steam for me is kind of my choice because PC Gamer, which you like to do, I have like ad blocker and it just fucks that website up for me. Yeah. I can't get into PC Gamer.
No, you have no script. I have ad blocker and I have no problems.
I use no script because I'm paranoid about internet stuff. Anyways, oh, PS, Yahoo got hacked, you know? That's another one. LinkedIn fucked me. Now Yahoo fucked me.
Yeah.
I'm just fucked.
I've been wanting to talk to you. So that password thing that you've been using?
Yeah.
When you first brought it up, I kind of scoffed at it. I'm like, oh, that's ridiculous. But now that not just my password is at risk right now. But my secret words are my answers and questions or whatever that's called. Yeah. You know, all that shit's at risk right now because my Yahoo account has been my primary account for the majority of my online life. So they have all my sex, my city that I was born in, all that stuff.
Your first pet, your all mother's maiden name.
Yeah.
All of it.
First boyfriend.
Yeah.
All of it.
So anyways, on the on Steamed, they had an article on digital homicides fiasco. And I just want to know if you guys have heard about this. So digital homicide, Bobby, this is some like trashware developer,
this is
right?
A company. I brought them up a few times on the podcast. They've had a lot of arguments with this game journalist called Jim Sterling, who I watch a lot of his content. He used to be on The Escapist with...
he's not on there anymore.
No,
he's the bigger guy, right?
Yeah, he's the big, fat British guy. He's gay also.
Has he tried...
I don't know why I bring that up, but I didn't realize he was gay for the longest time. And like every episode, he brings out like big-ass dildos and waves them around. I just thought, well, that's awesome. His thing. And then like one episode, like
we should start doing
gay.
That.
I was like, oh, okay, well, it all makes sense now. But he trashed a lot of their games, just talked shit about them nonstop. And they like contacted him, made threats against him, which happens a lot in game journalism, apparently. But basically, this digital homicide group is like this guy and his brother, I think.
Yeah, it's
and
they, brothers.
They make these really, really shitty games where they go to the Unity store and they buy assets and then they put them in a game and they call it a game even though it doesn't run very well. It hardly does anything. And they sell it for like a dollar, but they make it have Steam cards. So a bunch of people like me get it just for the Steam cards. They farm the cards and they never play the game. So basically they're trying to capitalize on the whole like Steam card craze by making games for super cheap,
not
super
try
quick.
To.
But they are.
They are, right?
I think they've been financially successful with it, at least to a certain degree. But the games, there's a few of them you may recognize. There's a really bad zombie one. I can't remember the name of something, Tantrum or something, where you're a kid that throws things around.
You said buy assets. What do you mean by assets?
So you get the Unity developer, like you're going to make a game, and then you go to the Unity store and you buy a model for a kid, and then you put that in your game, and then you buy this part. And
pre-rendered stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So they don't make any of this stuff themselves. They go out
and
buy the
artist.
Parts, and they put
they,
it in there, and them. It takes them like, not even months to make a quote unquote game.
I just formed the opinion and it's going to be the correct one.
Okay.
You're getting cards without any interest in playing the games.
Correct.
You buy games, right? And they're making games without any interest in making the game. So I feel like you're getting what you want. They're getting what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, the problem is, so here's where it comes. Here's where I'm bringing this up.
No, I was right. You know, there's nothing.
No, I agree with you. But here's where it comes. There are gamers that buy the game thinking that they're getting a game. Like, they're selling a game.
They can get a refund. And also, they're dumb.
Okay. So what's going on in Valve? There's two ways that you can get on Valve. You can get on Steam. You can either be basically approved by Valve. If you're EA or whatever, EA says we're coming out with a new game, Valve says great, put it on our platform. Or you can be greenlit. Those are basically the only two ways you can get on Steam, right? So greenlit is supposed to be designed to only put games up that players actually want. The problem is games such as this are ending up getting through because enough people are like, hey, I want this 99 cent thing that I can turn around and make money off of because I'm going to sell the cards for more than 99 cents.
Well, not only that, but they do certain things to get upvotes for it. So they will say, hey, you can get a free copy of this game when it comes out if you go to the site and upvote it. And a lot of these sites where they sell bundled games will do stuff like that, or even on itch.io or something like that. So Digital Homicide and a lot of other companies have done this as well, where they promise, and I get all this fucking spam all the time, where they promise you a free copy of the game if you go and upvote it. And so they basically buy their way into it by giving away a certain amount of free copies.
So what has happened now is there are actual user groups that have been created to try to combat this style of game publishing. So these action groups on Steam basically go in and tell people, post reviews, try to spam, talk shit to the developer, whatever it takes to try to like prevent these things from happening, because they feel like this is ruining the Steam experience and this is ruining what's going on. the problem is it's gotten so bad with Digital Homicide that Digital Homicide actually sued 108 Steam users for, I forget what the libel and what do you call it when they basically slander. threatened. It got so bad that people were issuing death threats to these brothers and stuff.
Harassment
like
or whatever.
But the brothers aren't innocent either because they do a lot of shady tactics and they do a lot of bad things also. So anyways, it's gotten so bad that they started suing. Valve just took all of Digital Homicide off their store. 108 games or something like that. There's a, you know, all their games and they pulled them all.
If you looked at it, Jim Sterling, you got to check this guy out. He's pretty funny. He reviews games and just kind of talks about the climate of gaming and stuff. And he's got like a whole series on these guys. But when he did an episode on it, he was saying that in one year they put out like, I don't know, 10 or 20 games or something. They were just churning these things out. And for the most part, I'm like, what's the harm, really? They're putting out trash. People are just farming them for cards, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. But I will say, yeah, it kind of ruined, not just them, but just things like this ruined Steam Greenlight. Steam Greenlight is a fucking joke. Like, we were all excited about it when it first came out. Like, this is a cool new way for, you know, people who don't have those publishers or don't have those ability to get out and get a bunch of eyes on their product. Like, this is a way that, you know, like Zaya, a buddy of ours who can sell his game.
But M.exe kind of, if you want to play a Pokemon
M.exe. Shout out to Zaya and his game. But, you know, that's an example of somebody doing it right, you know, like someone who should be in Steam Greenlight. But that has been clouded over by people who are just, you know, collecting. And I realize I'm part of the problem here because I'm a game collector. I'm a card collector.
You're the problem.
Yeah, I'm a big part of it. But it's just being clouded out to the point where Steam Greenlight is just completely ineffective. I don't even bother with it anymore. I don't go to Steam Greenlight and go, what looks cool? What's
and I did at the beginning
games?
Too.
Yeah,
we used just to. So much trash.
Yeah, now it's just a trash bin to the point where I almost feel like they could get rid of it like entirely.
No, you get rid of this trash. You get rid of the trash and only.
Yeah, but then who makes the determination what's trash or not?
I was going to say that. Well, the problem here is, I would bring it up almost every week that that Steam runs off of systems, so people are going to figure out what's the minimum level I can get in to trigger all the right systems.
You have to have an actual person go in and be like, okay, no, yes, no, no.
Well, you know, honestly, I think...
I'll be that guy.
I think...
give me a Valve, that's Emilio at dlgaming.net.
I think Imgur, you know, I brought up about this last week, but I think Imgur does a decent job on... There's people that go into user submitted because they feel like they can help make a choice on what gets onto the front page. But most of the people that get on Imgur just go to the front page and they want to just see what the funny thing is.
Yeah.
But somebody's put work in.
And you said
Imgur doesn't make the choice like the people do. So if Valve had a green light system where you could choose to go into to see all the trash, but most of the people just saw the top 10.
Right.
I think that, you know, you could do something
better. Or maybe
even
incentivize it where, like, I don't know, you get Steam cards for, like, sorting out that trash.
Yeah.
And it doesn't cost them anything.
Yeah. I think something needs to change. And this Steamed article basically was very critical of Valve, saying, like, they allowed this to happen. Their systems are so screwed up that this is a natural conclusion of what
was going on. It's a mockery of our gaming days.
Well, and the problem is, if Steam ends up shitting the bed, there's going to be a huge gap there that needs to be filled. You know, like, so Steam is the source right now. We've got Origin and some of these other ones, but Steam is the source for most of our games. And obviously,
it comes up
Blizzard
every single week, and I'm still a huge Steam fanboy.
Yeah.
I love it.
True.
This is one of the flaws in their systems.
Well, when you build an automated system, you're going to have people that can game the system.
Yeah, it's in the interview with Zaya that has his own game on Greenlight, and I brought it up. I was like, so did you know, when you talk to them, he's like, I never talked to anybody, dude. I gave them $100, and now I can put as many games as I want for that $100.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And maybe that's one of the flaws in their system. Sometimes you have to put a monetary thing, not just for money, but also to weed out all the trash.
Yeah, but what's the price that weeds out the trash but still lets indie developers?
$17.99.
$17.99. Yeah. Okay, cool.
All right, so that's about the end of the episode. What's next week looking like?
Well, the week ahead, we have TwitchCon in San Diego coming up. So everybody right. that's a Twitch fan, you, if you're going, if you, we should probably post a board about this too, yeah. or are interested in seeing what it's like, you know, stay in touch with our Twitter, which is digital_logic, LOGIK. Mm-hmm. For the DL Gaming podcast, I will be there. Chad will be there,
yep.
and I'm teaming up with Sam, so she's going to be my lady PIC when we go out there.
The original idea was tits out for Harambe, but I don't know if that, how they would pull
how
that
we're
off.
Going to pull it off because it's next week. I said I would cosplay, and I am a lazy motherfucker. I mm-hmm. doubt that's going to happen, yeah. but you know what? We'll be there and wearing our smiles for sure.
Yeah.
Nice.
So if you're going, let us know. We'll meet up with you.
You know what might be easy and might get some eyeballs is Battlerite characters because it's new and it's all over Twitch.
I'll get in touch and see if we could do anything last minute.
Yeah.
I do have at least 2 days off this week.
You're so. Trying to get it together a full Battlerite outfit in a week?
No,
ballsy.
No.
What's Punch Club?
Punch Club is a video game.
Ooh,
that
cool.
I bought. It was in a Humble Bundle. It's one that I've had my eyes on for a long time. It's mm-hmm. kind of been in the news. We brought it up. It's like a simulator game where you're training for like boxing matches. I've wanted to check it out for quite some time, and it was finally in a Humble Bundle, and I finally have it. So I'll probably be talking about that next.
Do you actually play the? Do you actually box, or is it just simulator?
So. It's a simulator.
I think it's straight up sim.
You have like different boxers and you level them up and mm-hmm.
You're probably loving the monotonous fucking shit. The worst part of boxing is the training, and that's the part that he's interested in. Mm-hmm. The worst part of a shooter is cleaning up the blood, and Bobby loves it.
What was that one called again?
Good things about this.
Visceral.
Viscera.
Cleanup.
Space Mexican.
Space Mexican, yeah.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'll let you know next week. But any games you guys got on your radar?
I'm thinking I'm going to switch it up and play WoW this week.
in one way, it's like hard to see Chad completely addicted. It's kind of like a heroin thing. But the other side, he fucking loves it, man. Yeah. He is enjoying it so much. And I can hear him strategizing with his group mates. And I was like, man, that sounds like so much fun.
Dude, you got to play. We need more to fill out our 10-man.
There's no way.
Raid.
It would become the WoW podcast. I want it to become the Divinity podcast.
Which is what I'll be playing.
Yeah,
and,
fuck yeah.
I'm super excited
to and strap in, dude. Because, well, first of all, I don't think you're far enough to know whether or not you're going to have to re-roll your characters.
Yeah, I know.
You'll see. You'll
no,
see.
Nobody
it,
wants
almost
to,
everybody re-rolls.
Okay.
Nobody wants to play the 12 hours of Divinity 2 that's available for early access. You guys talked Divinity and didn't even mention.
I don't want to be cut off at 12 hours. Like that okay. sounds terrible.
That's not my thing. Yeah. I want to get through the first one before I get to the second one.
Yeah.
Well, when you do it in 20-minute chunks, play one battle at a time,
not
it's going to take a while.
It was one fight. Bobby's like, I can't even. I think he hates me.
you want to play like 11 o'clock at night. That's way past my bedtime, uh-huh. weekend or not.
Oh, and we're going to play some more Battle Right because I want to play. At least the three of us.
The three of us, yeah.
Need to play. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Chi.
Buy it.
I think you should buy
you
it.
You should buy
okay.
it.
I like it. It's,
all right.
Yeah, it's worth
coming
it.
Coming back, guys, on the gaming scene. See you in Discord.
And Bobby?
I think that's it.
That's it? All right. So, Chi, you want to do it this week?
It's been so long, I almost forgot. But speaking for everybody here, we've got Emilio, Bobby, and Chad.
Diablo.
That's a motherfucking titty.
That's titties, everybody.
An illusion.